1:06 p.m. and it's lunchtime. And can you smell the delicious? This is Around the Table. AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where each and every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, movers, shakers, artists, healers, and friends to join us for a conversation that is just going to make this the most delicious place on the planet. Live from the city of gastronomy, you are here at Around the Table. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
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 We have a jam-packed, fun-filled show for all of you today. And it's going to culminate with some delicious barbecue. We're going to have the opportunity to introduce you to some of our favorite people. We're going to cover some of the local news, because the local news is the local talk, and the local talk is the local news. And in this hour, on this beautiful hump day, we're going to give you the kind of nourishment and nutrition that is, I think, really exciting and delicious. Joining me in the, today I'm very lucky, because I feel like we've got the perfect bridge table. We've got north, south, east, and west covered today with really remarkable people. To my east, Susan Allen is here in the celebrated co-host chair, where she joins me from time to time to cover a topic of wellness and delicious with her take on essential oils. She's been a fixture in this community for several decades, and she basically knows everybody, and we are always thrilled that she's here, because she is our truly one degree of separation person. She knows a lot of people, and a lot of people know her. We love it when she comes. You're kind of like the Kitty Carlisle of Around the Table.
And you know what? I'm stating my age by telling you I remember who she is.
I'm stating my age by telling you I know. But did I ever tell you I saw her on an airplane one time?
No,
in her
really?
Dotage. Oh my God, she was as glamorous and gorgeous and fabulous as you would have remembered her in TV. The Maldonados are here. Maldonados.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes. Correct.
Now, I don't know how you want me to introduce you, because you are my superstars in the anchor seats today to the north and to the west. But I wanted to ask you, and I wanted you to help me introduce yourselves. You know, when you go somewhere and someone says, please meet my friends. I would like to say that Rianne Maldonado, who was here with us on Monday's Come Back for a visit, because she works with her husband. And in the work that they do, they are private investigators with a twist. And it's really exciting to have you both here, because you've recognized when I met you, we were kindred from the start. But one of the things that I found extraordinary was you recognized, as I was talking to you, the need to bring people the information and awareness to have, let's just call it, situational awareness in a digital age. It's one thing when you walk into a parking garage as a single woman late at night and recognize that you're a single woman walking into a parking garage late at night by yourself. It's another to wake up in the morning and the sun is shining and you go to your computer and you click the button on and you have entered your digital reality, and you do so in a community that you feel secure and safe, and you may even live in a gated community, and you may live in a place like Tucson, Arizona, or maybe even the fancy foothills or El Encanto, where you think, I'm okay. And in fact, there are so many things that we can awaken people to. And that was one of the things I wanted to have you join us and talk. And then when we talk about awakening, you perform an awakening awareness for us on so many levels. So it's in all those roles that I'm delighted to welcome you to lunch today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Will you guys help me expand on and actually sharpen or pinpoint the introduction that I've made?
Sure.
Because you have a company and you do several different kinds of things, and you work together, and you're husband and wife, and you've got a big family. But yeah. I want to know, how do you introduce yourself to people?
Well, so I started the other day by just saying we're normal people. I know that normal is kind of a funny word, but we really are. We're just a mom and a dad. We have 5 kids. But what makes us different
is... you have superpowers if you have 5 kids.
This is true. I don't feel like it, but yeah, it's definitely true. So we have 5 kids. We're a mom and a dad, and we own a private investigative agency, thanks to my amazing husband and his belief in that dream coming true. And then the part, the twist, I think you were mentioning, is that we rely really heavily on our intuition. And I use the tarot cards to help us in our business and in our everyday life.
Will you talk about the fact that this is, it may sound uncommon to someone listening to this. How common is it in your industry for people to use any and every device and tool available to them, including something like an intuitive tool?
Even cold cases, when detectives have investigated something for years and the case becomes cold and 30 years later they're trying to find new leads, they'll even sometimes go to psychics and see if there's any information to be gathered from there. So really, when you're talking investigations, nothing is off the table. As long as it's honest and ethical, really nothing's off the table.
How is honest and ethical defined in today's world? Because I think they're, that's part of the challenge, right? I mean,
exactly.
People are conducting business and, it may be quote unquote legal. I mean, in every sector of our lives, there are actions people can take that are quote unquote legal. But any reasonable person would say they're unfair and unethical and unjust. I mean, how do we define in this day and age what that means?
I like to use kind of a common phrase in my circle of, is it in the highest good for everyone involved? So, just because you can do something, should you? Is it good for them, you, me? You kind of base a decision on the highest good of all involved, but not everybody does that.
Where do you find the majority of the cases coming to you today stem from?
Most of our cases come from online. Google specifically. If you Google Private Investigator Tucson, we come up on the first page.
And what are the kinds of issues that people are bringing to you to seek your help? Because I grew up in that fantastic era of 70s TV when detectives and detective shows were really popular. And so I think I have a preconceived idea of what private investigation means, of course, pre-digital. What's the reality of your industry and your business today?
Today, because we are in a technologically advanced age, we get calls for just about anything. We get calls from people that think they're in a romance scam. Maybe they're dating somebody online and they have been asked for money by this person. We get those calls. We get, of course, the traditional infidelity calls. Somebody thinks they're being cheated on.
Because that never happens.
No.
The crux of all the cases, though, I think, is that everybody's being deceived in some form or another.
It stems from some type of deception or the potential deception, because people will call us ahead of time as well. They might be doing a business transaction with somebody for a lot of money, and they want to know more about this person and their business. So they want to prevent being deceived, or they are being deceived.
What's the smartest thing that any of us could do if we're going into any new situation with someone? Is there something that you've learned that you would advise people to just consider when they're getting into something, a new job, a new romance, a new tendency? When and where are the times you can turn us on to an awareness that's going to help us?
You should always do some type of research, whether that research is for a new job that you just got. Also research on somebody that you're dating, somebody you just met that might be a business transaction. So doing your own research, and I'm talking very simple Google searches.
Or court record searches.
Exactly. Because to be honest, before I start a case, that is the very first place I go is Google. Get as much information on open source that I can get, and then go from there.
Because what does open source mean?
An open source is anything that doesn't require either payment or that. So court records would be an open source.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have some special kind of access
or license like that.
Or fees.
When you have people coming to listen, if you can feel and sense that we've opened Pandora's box as a topic. We have, and we would love to hear from you. I hope we've stimulated your curiosity and your interest. I hope that you have no need for our friends' services in any sort of a negative way. I hope that if there's any need for their services, you're seeing it as a sort of preventative, sort of in advance kind of thing. But I want to give everybody the opportunity to call in and ask any questions. So 520-790-2040 is our number. We would love to hear from you. The Maldonados are here. And the name of your business is?
Is Black Horse Investigations.
Are there many public investigators or private investigators in the Tucson area? Is this a common field? Are people in this in a big way?
I wouldn't say it's common, but there are quite a few in the entire state. There's quite a few. I think even most attorneys probably have private investigators licenses. However, the active ones are probably few.
We have spoken, and one of the things we talked about having you come on and share with us are some of your thoughts about how all of us could maybe be a little bit more protective of ourselves and our spirits and our interests and our bank accounts and our... And you, just when we were talking, told me about a few things that I had no idea about that I found really quite shocking. What are some of the most basic bits of information that are being collected about us that most of us probably don't know are being collected about us?
You know, one of the ones that is a bit scary is your license plate on your car is being photographed in multiple places. It could be
doctor's offices, restaurants,
hotels, freeways, just about everything. Google, along with some other companies, actually have vehicles that drive around with license plate readers. Some police cars even have these license plate readers. A lot of that data goes into a database for third-party companies who then sell the data to private investigation companies and collections and repo companies. That's just a small sample. And then, of course, there's facial recognition that is going to become huge. So,
and it's only just starting, so it's a burgeoning thing now.
Yes, right now they are collecting data in order for this facial recognition stuff to...
And how do they collect that information? How do they get the pictures of us?
I read an article recently, and I couldn't tell you where I read it, but I read it recently that they are actually getting information online.
From your own social media, I would guess.
Yes.
Now, I have a computer. It's sitting in front of me. It's a laptop. And on the laptop, as most of us have laptops and most of us have phones, which is sort of even a smaller version of a laptop, there's a camera built into it. And we think that if we're using our camera to take pictures... We're using it for that. And that if we're not using it to take pictures, it's not doing anything. You told me about something that I found really shocking and prompted me to take an immediate action. You told me that these cameras could be used all the time.
They
potentially.
Could. They could. Your laptop camera, people can hack into your computer and see what you're doing through your laptop camera. There's a very famous video that was taken by a journalist. Her name is Cheryl Atkinson. She, a few years ago, saw that her mouse was moving on her laptop.
Mine's been doing that. What does that mean?
She tried to stop it. She tried to press escape. She tried to press all these keys on there. Nothing was happening. All she could see is the cursor starting to highlight things, probably copying, deleting some items, things like that. So clearly she was hacked. And I think since then she's in a lawsuit with the government, I believe, on this hacking. But there are people that are sophisticated enough to do this. We work with a third-party company that partners with us in order to find some of this digital forensic evidence that some computers have been hacked into.
And you have seen on my laptop that, in fact, the cursor moves by itself, and it's very easy to identify. It's not just... Maybe it's an older laptop, and it's just got a glitch of some sort. There's some very distinctive... What should people look for to note something out of the ordinary? Are there certain patterns of things? Are there certain visual clues or cues that you can tip us off to identify?
Well, I'm not entirely technically versed on on what it is to look for. However, if you see the cursor and of the mouse moving on your screen, that's a problem. And yep. It's not you doing it.
Yeah. And you're just sitting here and it's going in and out and opening things and closing things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take the calls and questions that are coming in to us here at 520-790-2040. This is AM 1030, The Voice, your trusted source for local news and talk. We're here with the Maldonados. Rianne is here and she's got her cards. Susan Ellen is here. She's going to tell us how to reduce the anxiety that comes from realizing that your computer and the camera on your computer and the microphone on your computer and the camera on your phone and the microphone on your phone might be doing more than you know that it's doing. We're going to help reduce the anxiety that causes. How do you like how we're tying it all together? This is Around the Table. We'll be back with more right after this. 1:27 p.m. and you're here with us live on Around the Table. This is AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk and the local talk is the local news. Susan Allen is here in the studios with us. She's brought some essential oils, including the lavender, which is big in the news this week, saying that it is as effective and perhaps even more effective than just some of the pharmaceuticals in reducing anxiety. Thank you for being here. The Maldonados are here, and they are the heart-to-heart, the husband and wife private investigative team that genuinely can help you. And a little later on, we are going to take you on a tour of some of the most powerful astrological influences are having an impact on our lives right now. But right now, we're going to go to the Maldonados, who have some very important information to share with all of us about how, let's just call it the Facebook effect. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, do you want me to use your real names? Like, how should I introduce you guys? Because I've asked this question a couple times, and I want to make sure people find you. When you're a private investigator, do you kind of like have to go under the radar yourself, or...
No, it doesn't really work that way anymore. Maybe in the past it has, but I go by Emilio Maldonado. It's no secret that I own Black Horse Investigations with my wife, Rianne Maldonado.
And in the realm of this industry, it's important to go with people who are trusted and well-respected. And that's why we met you and we were so powerfully impacted by the service you bring to our community and your willingness to generously share your expertise with every listener out there about some of the really, I mean, when we're driving down the road and there's a pothole, you turn the wheel of your car to avoid the pothole. In our lives, there are digital potholes, some of which are car swallowers. And if you don't know they're there, you don't know to swerve to avoid them. And you're coming on to tell us where some of these really hiding in plain sight potholes of the digital world are, might just save us. Thank you for doing that. Let's talk about the Facebook effect.
Sure. One thing you probably will want to do is make sure that your Facebook is private. And what I mean by that is someone who is not your friend on Facebook cannot just go onto your page and start looking at all your photos, all of your posts. Here's the reason for it. If you don't have a private Facebook page, anyone can go in there, look at every single photo you have. Sometimes people with bad intentions use those photos to put on profiles, fake profiles that they then use for dating scams, romance scams. Not only that, but people can gather a lot of intelligence on you when you're going on vacation. Where you live, where you work, how many kids you have.
Where your kids go to school.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
This is terrifying as a parent. This is terrifying as a citizen. How can this be legal? Is this one of those instances where do people even understand what's legal and what's not legal, what's ethical, and where we define privacy anymore?
Well, apparently it's legal, although Facebook... Mark Zuckerberg, he's had to go to Congress to testify, I think, a couple times now regarding privacy. So it's legal, but right now they're trying to fight. They're having a little battle anyway to try and figure out how legal this stuff is.
But also, when you put yourself out there, your expectation of privacy, you kind of, it goes away a little bit. Yes, we should be allowed to share, but we have to be aware of the consequences and at what cost. So I think there's some muddied waters there as well.
What's the number one thing a parent should or should not do relative to Facebook?
In my opinion as a mom, and I'm guilty of posting pictures of my children for, you know, grandma and all of that, but I'm always cautious about the surroundings. Never will our house address be in the picture, our type of car, our license plate, where they go to school. No identifying factors other than some pictures of some kids. And there are people who go even more extreme and won't even put a picture of their children on there. But for me, protecting the our identity and how to find us is important to me.
Emilio, what's the one thing you would say is important?
I would concur. I think probably the most important thing is to protect your children. I think that watching what it is that you post. If you post pictures of your children, fine. But make sure you're not posting your house address behind you. Or like Rianne said, a license plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
And if somebody knows that you work at a certain place, I mean, people know you're here today. And if you're here today, they know you're not somewhere else.
Exactly.
How do you weave that into the realities of a share everything world?
Yeah, that's a hard one. That's where I was saying that sometimes you have to decide, maybe you'd have to take a step back and go, I don't really need to share this. Or, you know, can you text that picture to grandma instead of posting on Facebook for the potential world to see? You just really can't protect your stuff out there.
Is texting just as safe or more safe or less safe? I mean, what's the safest way to use the digital world? How can we safely live in the digital world?
I don't know if there's fact to this, but I feel slightly safer texting versus using an app, you know, like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. I don't want to put my stuff out there for extra people. But I'm assuming none of it's safe.
And to be honest, even texting may not be completely private, because I've even had instances where I texted something to my wife and, you know, let's just say it was karate lessons. And 3 days later on Facebook, I'm getting ads for karate lessons.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Right.
And that's a reality.
It is real.
Do people come to you and say that those kinds of things happen and they want you to investigate how it happens?
Not really. I think most people just understand that when you say yes, allow to these apps for them to have these permissions, that you kind of open the door for that stuff.
Yes, the whole expectation of privacy I was mentioning, that kind of goes out the window when you allow.
If you had the opportunity to tell people who, like us, all live in the digital age about how to consider whether there is a need for your services or not, what are some of the tests people should apply to their lives to think about whether they could give you a call and benefit from it?
You know, a lot of people call and say, I thought you'd be too expensive, so I waited a long time to call. But I look at it this way, and I explain it that, sure, it's not inexpensive, but would a few hundred dollars make you feel a little bit better by having peace of mind, by knowing the truth, rather than constantly worrying about what's going on? So once you tell them, you know, put it in that context, then they're like, well, yeah, a few hundred dollars probably is a good investment.
And people call us for all kinds of reasons, and most of them are surprised that they're calling. I think I told you the other day that my first impression of a private investigator was like silly, and I kind of laughed at Emilio, but now I see every walk of life, somebody can use our services. A house sitter is going to come to your house because you're going on vacation. You want to get a background check, make sure that they don't have a criminal record. A babysitter, someone doing work on your house, or a potential new date, or you have a teenage daughter and she's got a new boyfriend and you need to run a background check.
Talk to me in the minute we have left before we have to take our next break. Talk to me about how living in the age of Craigslist, in the age of Match.com, what are some of the things that you can provide about someone we may never even be in the same state with? How can we live as consumers in this digital age and avail ourselves of the kind of things that you do in a more safe and secure way?
Well, as far as Craigslist, you should always be 100% safe. And what I mean by that is if you are going to make a transaction with somebody, it should be in a public place where there are lots of people. It's safer, safety in numbers, that sort of thing. As far as Match.com, if you start dating someone, they should never ask you for money, ever. That is the number one red flag.
How often does that actually happen?
All the time.
Yeah, very often,
and they ask for money but won't meet you. That's an even bigger next red flag.
And if somebody asks you for money, how soon usually do they ask for money within an online dating situation?
It doesn't take long. As soon as they've got the hooks in and they tell you they love you and you fall for it. And the way they find you is they look at these, you know, divorcees or sad people that are posting on Facebook how they feel alone and they're looking for the love of their life, and you know, they tell this story and paint this picture. Well, now they just victimize themselves, and these people prey on those people.
Wow. This is intense, makes us have a little bit of anxiety, but we have a lot of tools working in our favor. We've got your services, we've got gut instincts, and you told me the other day something really powerful, and that is your gut instinct.
I will never lie.
Susan Allen's here. And up next, Dr. Michael Lennox is calling in to help us. Everyone's here to help you today. We're here to help you today. You're here to help us. We're here to help each other. We're here to get over this hump of a hump day together. We're here around our table. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This is Around the Table. 1:41 p.m., and Dr. Michael Lennox is a highly sought-after media expert who is seen regularly both nationally and internationally on programs talking about topics such as dreams and the ways in which we can live with both psychology, personality, astrology, and a consciousness alignment that will allow you to live your most rich and wonderful life in this embodiment. I know those are big words and big ideas, but when I read about him and invited him onto the show and he agreed to join us today, it was thrilling and an honor to have him calling in from his studios. Dr. Michael Lennox, welcome.
It is such a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, you started out in the Midwest at a very prestigious university in all the most traditional ways, and we're now, a few years later, talking about somewhat on non-traditional topics.
It is true.
What a great journey.
I started non-traditionally. Like, I went to grad school late in life. I started my master's and doctorate, like, at 36, 37 years old. And I very deliberately went to a very traditional psychodynamic, psychoanalytic school, very traditional. And I was thought of as kind of the weird guy, the mystical, spiritual dude while I was there. But I sort of started, though, my exploration of life and consciousness as a kid, just fascinated with dreams. And that's what led me to a life of devoting myself to it. The psychology degree came later.
What are dreams?
You know, what a great question. I think they are the snapshot to our soul's expression. I think at the center of them are a mystical way that the ego mind, which is the thinking part of us, you know, the person that knows what day it is, what time it is, and where you are and who you are, is asleep. So the greater part of our experience of consciousness is free to be in expression without that, you know, rational mind saying, oh, that's not real, that's not true, that's not accurate. So I think that they open us up to the center of our mysticism. And of course, there's lots of scientific brain structure things that are also going on when dreams happen that scientists know about today that cause them to dismiss the mystical beauty of dreams. But I think that's just hubris.
Do we create dreams, or do dreams come to us, or do we co-create dreams with something outside of us that's as mystical as we are, that confirms that in fact we're mystical?
That is the question of the day, and I love the question itself. From my perspective, of course, it's a co-creation. It's both. From somebody who wants to look at only the structural, it's very easy to say, well, this is happening in the brain, and that's happening with metabolic waste of brain cells during REM sleep, and therefore we're creating dreams because our brain is just doing stuff. And the images are artifacts of the chemical stuff that's happening in the brain while you're sleeping. That just feels to me like just too small a piece of the picture. And then the idea that we're, you know, having dreams because of what we're bumping into in the outside world is also true, but it's just one slice of it. So in any given moment, something that you experience in your dream state might be something that's coming up out of you, that's expressing your relationship to the world. It might be coming up because the world is expressing something back at you and you're having to navigate a relationship issue and it's showing up in your dreams. It might be a mystical experience where somebody who's just passed away in your life is visiting you in dreams. It could be a past life moment where you're connecting to something that's way beyond this life's consciousness possibility. I think so much is possible in the dream state. I would have to say, as someone who considers himself half scientist, half mystic, that everything that we think is possible during dreams is possible.
Now, the one thing you haven't said, that maybe you said it and I didn't hear it because I was dreaming, but maybe the one thing I haven't heard you say yet is where we are right now, who you are right now, and what's happening right now is, in fact, the dream.
Absolutely. I love that I didn't say it, because I didn't say it. But it is the beauty of connecting with the dream state, the one that does happen very much when you're asleep, inside which anything is possible and anything can be created by you. We give that full sway in our dream state. We accept that we are magical creators in our dreams and that anything can happen. The best way to live this consciousness life when we're awake is to believe it to be the same kind of landscape, a dynamic, dreamlike place where anything is possible and we are the sovereign creators who make it all happen as we go. And then when we pass out of this life, it's like waking up out of the dream into whatever the consciousness that comes when this life is done.
Dr. Lennox, this is I have a quick question. Does your mood being your state of relaxation or peacefulness versus your state of anxiety or stress when you fall asleep impact how and what you're going to dream about?
Absolutely. For a couple of reasons. One simple explanation for the state that you're in impacting the dream state is that the deeper you sleep, the more fully the system goes into those brainwave changes that happen that we call sleep, is directly connected to how vividly we will have the experience of the dream state. So if you're riddled with anxiety and therefore your sleep is less deep, your dream state will reflect that level of discomfort. As a psychologist, I also have the belief that whatever's challenging us or troubling us in our lives that might show up in anxiety at night while we're trying to fall asleep is also going to be what the dream expression is. I believe that our dreams tell us where we're saying no to life and consciousness so that we can, you know, work at the stuff that's making us frightened or scared or lacking or doubting, and wake up the next day more prepared to receive a life of expansion and abundance because the dream is showing us where we were afraid.
Dr. Michael Lennox is our guest. He's joined us here around our table today. Of course, as always, we've saved the seat at the head of our table for the guest of honor. That's you. We're also in the studio today live with the Maldonados, a husband and wife public investigative team, private investigative. Why do I keep saying public investigator when it's actually private investigator? Isn't it funny? Because in the digital age, everything is public. So it's almost like you almost have to go looking in the public world and not the private world. But I wanted to introduce you to Dr. Lennox, because Dr. Lennox, one of the things that I thought would be really interesting was to marry the two worlds of when you get people who are not only private investigators, but very intuitive private investigators who utilize a series of intuitive tools and techniques, including tarot cards and other somewhat mystical devices and talents and gifts in the realm of this. I love the idea that when you're talking about the sort of mystery of the dream state and some of the work that you do as both a scientist and a mystic, that we have someone who's equally on the ground. I love the old sort of leather gumshoe kind of old-fashioned detective work kind of people helping us understand and look for examples of these behaviors and experiences in the terrestrial here and now. And yet, while we're talking about terrestrial here and now, we're still talking about all this mystic stuff. I don't know where to go with this. Help.
Well, I mean, I'll start by saying if I were looking for a public or private investigator, I would certainly trust someone who understood that there was information in the irrational. And that information is valuable information for whatever endeavor we have. So consciousness expanding is what I'm all about. Like, I just want you to be more conscious of who you are on a Tuesday than you were on a Monday. And I want you to use every tool in your toolbox to do that. I want you to use a rational, psychological tool to do that. But I also want you to use something mystic and irrational if it winds up having you wake up knowing who you are a little bit more. And I think that if someone is doing the same thing, only the end goal is something more practical, like I need to learn about this person or I need to check this safety experience, that there's information in the irrational, in the mystic. Now, I think you have to be careful who you know, tell your, you know, not every potential customer of this service is going to say, oh, yes, I want the private investigator who's going to pull out their tarot deck. But I certainly want somebody who understands that some information that comes to us does not come through direct or rational processes, but by trusting that there's more available in the ethers.
We are here around the table on AM 1030, The Voice with the Maldonados. Dr. Michael Lennox, an internationally renowned psychologist, astrologer, and author, a mystic and a scientist, is here. Susan Allen is here. And at this fantastic table today, we have a very unique opportunity. Dr. Lennox, would you first of all tell everybody about your books? Because I don't want to run out of time before we have the opportunity, because people are going to hear you what we're talking about today and say, I need to know more about this. I have faith that everything we talk about today is going to find a set of ears, inspire someone, and ignite something marvelous in their quest and their journey and in your realm and efforts to raise the consciousness of whoever is encountering these ideas can actually have something actionable to go and direct them towards. So where's your website and what are your books?
I love that. I agree, too, that there's, you know, somebody in the Tucson area needs to hear that they can have access to what I'm offering. Certainly, books-wise, Dream Sight, S-I-G-H-T, Dream Sight was my first book. It's kind of a teaching tool. It introduces people to my particular way of looking at dreams. And though it includes a kind of a dream dictionary, it's not really a resource for interpreting dreams. It's to help people think differently about how to consider universal meaning. Then I actually have a dream dictionary, which is called Llewellyn's Complete Dictionary of Dreams. Llewellyn is my publisher. So this is one of their branded books. Llewellyn's Complete Dictionary of Dreams is definitely the resource you want next to your bed to flip through like 1,200 different symbols that might appear in a dream. And then my third book is really just a gift book. It's a combination of the two books called Llewellyn's Little Book of Dreams. And then for astrology information, which I put a lot out on Facebook, you can just find me, Dr. Michael Lennox, on Facebook. Now,
did I send you any information? What kind of information do you need about somebody? Because what's so interesting to me is, what do private investigators need to know to do their work? And what do you as an astrologer, psychologist need to know to do your work?
Well, it's interesting that one of the beautiful things about incorporating the intuitive perspective into my work as a healer, helper, you know, consciousness, you know, guy, whether you're coming to me through the lens of psychotherapy or it's for an astrology reading or we're going to do an analysis using only your dreams, is that I don't need anything. I need you to participate with me with regard to the idea that two people come together and they're channeling divine wisdom together. Like, I don't ever tell people I'm magic and I have intuitive information. I make it very clear that the information that comes through that is helpful and transformative for the person that I'm sitting with, it's part of the conversation. It's not coming from me. If it were, then I'd be magic.
What's the difference between
magic?
No, but Dr. Lennox, what's the difference between magic and mystic?
Well, here's using the same thing, the same sort of analogy that we're coming out of, is the idea of magic would be, I have something that you don't have. You come to me and I bestow it upon you. That's like what Santa Claus does. Mystic says change and alchemy is not rational and it happens in mysterious ways. And if you come into my space, our rational minds might be having a conversation over here, but trust me, something else is happening in the irrational, in the mystical. Change and transformation is taking place. And one of the ways that winds up showing up is people will say to me often after a session, they'll be like, well, I don't know that I understood everything that we talked about, but I felt so much better after I left.
Wow. Now, tell everybody how they can book a session with you.
MichaelLennox.com.
LennoX.
That's right. MichaelLennox.com. Booking happens there. I also have a daily astrological report that I send out every day. That's a subscription series. So people who are interested in astrology and want to know what's actually happening in the stars every day can find out a little bit about my daily astro alerts at the website, MichaelLennox.com.
Your daily astro alerts. And you bill yourself. You sort of identify yourself as an ambassador to conscious embodiment, which I think is a very cool idea.
I love that you like that phrase. It did sort of emanate out of me over the last couple of years when I was asked by, you know, marketing people who help you run a business like mine, say, well, what's your tagline? And it's like, well, I'm all about embodiment. You know, what is embodiment? Embodiment just means I'm living inside of my body in the most vibrant way possible, intellectually, spiritually, energetically, emotionally, psychically, and anything that you can pick up that helps you know more about who you are, whether it's rational and psychological, like journaling or investigation or going into some therapy, or something more irrational, like sitting down with the tarot cards or having an astrological reading or interpreting some dreams or doing some ritual because it's the new moon. That's a way of embodying more consciously. And I'm the guy with 1,000 tools in my toolbox to help you do that.
Well, we've got a set of tarot cards that have been laid out in front of us. Dr. Michael Lennox, thanks so much for joining us. And as we wrap up this hour, please come back and visit us again sometime soon.
I will absolutely come back, spend a little more time, and maybe we'll get some callers to share their dreams with me.
I know we ran out of time today, but thank you so much for everything. This is so mind-bending and blowing, and it's really... This is giving me as much anxiety reduction as the beautiful lavender and rose essential oils that I'm sniffing on my wrist from my friend Susan Allen. Thanks so much.
I love it.
All right,
you're so welcome. Happy to be here.
Maldonados are here with us, and I saw the cards out, and I want to know, you have the cards with you all the time, and I love that you use them. I love that you employ them in your work that you do in its Black Horse Investigations.
Yes.
When do you know to employ, like, it's, I mean, I know you keep saying your gut. I feel like as soon as I ask the question, are you going to say your gut tells you? How do you know?
I get a feeling. Sometimes it's like, oh, I can't help myself. I just need to touch them. Like they have something to say to me. And I know that sounds irrational to use Dr. Lennox's words. But really I do. And then I just get a feeling. But I did want to touch on something that you said. You were trying to tie in the information that Dr. Michael Lennox needs similar to the information that we need. And it's funny because I think when you're getting an astrological reading, you give, you know, your name, your birth date, some of these important things about you. Well, we take a lot of the same information from our clients for completely different reasons, but ultimately to find out more about them so that we can help them. So I just wanted to go back to what you said with him.
But the same information that he gets leads him in one direction, and you use it because it's institutionalized in an informational way in the digital age to unlock any number of things from, you know, credit scores to medical histories to whatever.
But it also helps us get the more we know about them and their willingness to share it with us helps us also know if they're going to be a legitimate client or if they have ulterior motives.
How often do you get someone coming to you and not being upfront with you right up front?
More often than you'd think. They don't tell the whole story. They tell a different story, or their story is a lie and they have bad intentions, so they won't give their information. And those are the cases we run from.
And then when you get those cards telling you that, you probably don't even need the cards to tell you to run.
No, but on a funny note, sometimes Emilio will call me and say, oh, I just got a call and this client has this and this problem. And I'll say, oh, they don't need you. They need my cards. Like, I could help them.
But both of you do the cards. That's the really cool thing.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, you guys, give everybody information about how they can find you.
Sure. You can find us online at blackhorseinvestigations.com or call us at 800-741-9239.
Let's take that number one more time.
800-741-9239.
We'll put it on our Facebook page. Thank you. You're going to come back and visit with us some more to keep us safe.
Thank you.
You guys, let's wrap up this hour by saying when you get home today, hug your kids and count your blessings. We'll be back with more right after this, Around the Table.